you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 and 27. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? That was Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 and 27. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, June 28th, 2023, and it's going to be a Testimony Tuesday on Wednesday. I love Testimony Tuesday. In fact, we had a Testimony Monday, a Testimony Tuesday, and now a Testimony Tuesday on Wednesday. My special guest is Shanna McGuire, and I'm going to have you introduce yourself. There's so much to your life experiences, how God has transformed even some of the brokenness in your past, bringing healing and hope. And you're going to bring that about in a few days on July 1st at the Hills Celebration at Douglas Park here in Champaign, 512 East Grove Street. Shanna, what would you want the listener to know about you on this Testimony Tuesday on Wednesday?
I want people to know that I am chosen by God to do a work, a real work for the Lord. I chased after God, and I love God with all my heart and all my soul. I really do.
Now, loving God doesn't mean that everything goes easy. Life is just filled with a bed of roses. The checkbook always balances. There's money in the bank. Things are smooth sailing, right? I mean, that's not always the case. Even faithful followers of Jesus, there's disappointment, there can be divorce, there can be heartache, and your growing up years were not easy. So walk us through that faith journey, and even the point where you turned away from God, and yet how he brought you back.
Yeah. Well, I accepted Christ in my life at age 12, and my father and mother, we moved back and forth from Champaign. I was born here in Champaign, Urbana. Moved back and forth to Southern State, which was Mississippi. And when I come back, this is where I have been ever since I was 12 years old. So I've been back here since that time. And I got saved at age 12 in a Baptist church. I've always been into church. My father always and mother always took us to church. But I did not really know God until I started to have the trauma in life as I grew up from age 12 and understanding, you know, we can be put into difficult places as we grow up in life, you know, from the age 12 on to 19, you know, things began to shift and change after college. So that's how I began to really know who God was. But I accepted Christ in my life at 12. I remember my aunt when they call, because Baptist churches, what they do is they'll open the doors of the church and pastor will get up and start to invoke the people to come, you know, to come to Christ, you know, all of them that are heavy burden to come to God. And I remember my aunt nudging me and I was looking at her like, what is you not? You know, she's nudging me. And I went up. And that was the first time I accepted Christ into my life and got baptized.
Now, for somebody maybe unfamiliar with the term got saved or accepted Jesus or asked him into your life, who is this Jesus that you're talking about? Because for some, maybe international students that are the first time they're hearing about Christianity or tuning in to somebody that's been a skeptic that thinks, there's no way there could be a loving God in this universe. Look at all the pain and suffering. So what does it mean that you got saved or that you asked Jesus into your heart?
You know, at 12, I didn't understand very much. I didn't. I'm going to be transparent, you know, because I was nudged. I thought that was the right thing to do. It wasn't until I turned 27 that I really began to know what saved really meant. Meaning that I went through some traumatic experiences. I went through time in life when I was into drugs and I went to jail and I had a child out of wedlock and just went through a challenging time in life. And God brought me full circle. And then I knew what it meant to really be saved. And that is when you receive Christ, receive his death, burial, and his resurrection. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And received, and you've come to a point whereas you know that you've done wrong in your life. But even when you've done wrong, knowing that Christ, Jesus Christ, carried all of your bad things, everything that you could have ever done, that he carried it to the cross, and that he paid a price with his life to redeem you, to bring you back to the fullness of life, to bring you back out of the dark places. And when you received that finished work, that he rose again with the things that you need to walk through life, that is when you have accepted Christ and you become saved. And knowing that when you leave this earth, whether the death in being buried or being here when the rapture comes, when Jesus Christ comes back for us, knowing that you'll have eternal life, that this won't be final for you, and knowing that you're going to be with him, and mm-hmm. that you won't be in hell with the enemy, which is the devil, Satan himself, but you will be in heaven with Jesus Christ.
Did you ever feel like you could earn his love, or if you had just attended church or did the right things, then you made it into heaven?
You know, I never felt that way. I never felt that if I attended church that I would be into heaven. I knew it was steps to it, but it wasn't until I came to the place of the hard places in life mm-hmm. that I knew that I would have to come to him with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I had to come to him in that place of humility, knowing that I couldn't walk this thing out mm-hmm. called life by myself. I wouldn't dare go through life without the hope in Jesus Christ. A lot of people are walking the earth without hope, and then they're doing murder, suicide, you know, and they're detached from hope. And I can't detach from hope anymore because I've done that before.
I'm going to mention this again at the end of the broadcast, but I want to highlight or alert or encourage our listeners to come out to Douglas Center Park just in a few days. It's this Saturday, July 1st, 1 to 7 p.m. So come just after lunch or come during dinner time or come early evening, because there'll be activities all day long. There'll be a variety of speakers. There'll be music. There'll be children's activities, adult activities, free food. There's been a number of donors that are going to help with like hot dogs and other fix-ins. There'll be some testimony time, and talk a little about the Hills celebration.
Oh, I tell you, that definitely was birthed out of pain, being that I had a nephew in 2012 to get shot and murdered. And then I had a brother in 2021 that died of a drug overdose. And those were painful events in my life. And my mother went through a transition, whereas she didn't want to talk about it. She didn't even want to look at it, at his obituary. And we talked about it. And God began to really work with me. He began to speak with me concerning something that would bring an awareness, something that would lift up the individual that is struggling with the fact that they've been traumatized by gun violence, traumatized or victimized by that, or drugs in their families. And I believe there are many, many people here in the local community that have someone in their family that are either on drugs or have been violently victimized by gun violence in some kind of way. So we're looking to bring an awareness. People will be sharing, even the ones that have murdered when they were young. These people are older now, and they've paid their dues. They went through process of being locked up for sometime 20 years, but they are now activists in the community so that the other young boys or young girls won't get caught up in the same thing. Mm-hmm. So they've already been redeemed, but they're working to help in the community to divert our children from picking up guns.
So that's happening this Saturday, 1 to 7 p.m. There'll be activities throughout and testimony time and music and free food. It's happening at the Douglas Center Park, 512 East Grove Street, Champaign, Illinois, Saturday, July 1st, 1 to 7 p.m. Do you have trauma in your background, or do you need healing and hope? Well, come on out this Saturday, 1 to 7 p.m. I hope you'll take advantage of Shauna's gifts and how God desires to have this be a special event for many.
Can I also add that there are also going to be not only people that have victimized, but we're going to have victims or people that have used drugs that have come out of the places of being in bondage with drugs that will share and what they're doing in the community to help. Mm. And Trauma Resilience Initiative will be out there with counselors to help people.
And happy to encourage our listeners. I plan to be there for some of that time and hope that many of you will carve out time 1 to 7 p.m. this Saturday, 512 East Grove Street in Champaign. Well, Shauna, you were talking about coming to Christ and understanding Christ as Lord and Savior at a younger age, but there was a point in your life that caused you to turn your back on God. And yet, obviously, he's brought you back. But walk us through some of that, because that's true for many people. Just because they started out asking Jesus into their heart at a young age, they might be far from him or been really disillusioned, expecting that their life would have turned out much differently. And so they're not in a vibrant relationship with him, as you are now. But talk about that time period.
Yeah, so at 27, you know, like I said, God did it again in my life, brought me from a place of drugs and jail and things of that nature. And I owned a really growing business, got married, and things were really moving smoothly. And I got really wrapped up in abuse, you know, in my marriage. I was married a little over 20 years, and throughout that time, progressively, the abuse got worse, and I start to deal with issues of depression and suicide. My mind, I begin to be very suicidal, and I made a decision to just turn my back because I felt like I prayed and I prayed, and I felt like I wasn't being heard. And you know, I got to a point where I got angry with God. I really did. I didn't find out that I had an issue with anger. And I felt like an unto Jonah. You know, Jonah was selfish and he had anger issues. And I had the same and didn't realize it until I took an anger management class that I found out. And God showed me, you were angry with me and you turned your back. And in turning my back, I did many, many bad things. And I was facing close to 20 years in prison, about 16 years, I'll just say about 16. And God did not allow that to happen to me. He touched the heart of the judge because previously I had helped many people in drug treatment, probation is what it was. And I was remembered. And they put me back on drug treatment probation, so I was able to help others. But during that time that I struggled and I turned my back on God, I wanted to die. I really did. Nothing mattered. You know, I divorced. The door came open and I was able to get the divorce. And things just turned out really, really, really bad for me. You know, I just felt like I wasn't worth anything. I didn't love myself anymore. You know, and I felt like no one else cared. And I, you know, just began to become suicidal. You know, I made some bad choices. I had so many cases that they didn't know what to do. You know, I had driving cases, and then I had, you know, things. I even had things that I had done in the jail, things I carried in the jail, you know, that was really, really, really bad when it came to everything else. You know, when you have
kind of that downward spiral, that
everything. I mean, I did some bad stuff. And to think that someone else in the jail was facing the same time I was facing, got the time. But God did not allow me to get the time. And as I went through my drug addiction phase before I was locked up, you know, I almost died and still didn't want to give up the drug. You know, I had what was called sepsis, and I went to a funeral with the PICC line they had over my heart, like a cancer patient. I went to the funeral of someone that died with the same thing I had in my body. And God did not allow me to die. That's when I knew there was purpose for me. God did not want me to go down that way. And he was saving me for such a time as this. And so, you know, I was locked up. And, I felt like an animal in a cage. Then that's when God really started to deal with me, because it was just me in a room with steel and concrete. And I asked for the Bible. And when I got that Bible, I began to read, and God began to speak to me. I had many visitations. You know, it didn't take laying on the hands of a pastor. It was just me and God. We had time in the mornings. There were certain mornings that we would meet. He would talk with me. And I, you know, because I was coming from a place of a reprobated mind, a mind that always thought evil thoughts, or, you know, so I would ask God, I said, do I have to go out and steal to get things to wear and think, you know, because I didn't have anything after having so much. You know, I had probably 2 pairs of shoes when I got out. I had to go into treatment because that was a process, or maybe a pair of pants. And God spoke. He told me, and it talked about what he just spoke at the beginning of the program, Matthew 6. And it starts, you can start in the verse 25, about him, how worthy are we? You know, he can feed the birds in the air and the lilies. He toiled with splendor. Those are toiled more magnificent than Solomon and what he wore, that how much important are we to him? And he gave me that scripture. And I promise, even today, God has been providing. I never looked to steal or do anything. I have more than enough, you know. And I'm just grateful. And he's been leading me. He's been guiding me ever since I was released and went through my process in drug treatment and being on the probation and being released successfully. Because in this probation, you take drops. And other people went through the probation, and some have gone to prison because they didn't want to follow the directions of the judge. But I surrendered. When I left that jail, I promised God. I promised him, I said, you know, God, I won't go out and be promiscuous and get wrapped up in relationships anymore, because I got wrapped up even after I divorced, you know. And I promised him I would not smoke ever again. I put cigarettes down. You know, there's more things, lying or cheating. You know, I just surrendered it all to God. And as I surrendered and I was released, I tell you, I was tested in all areas and I passed every test. And you know, in 2 Corinthians, and I think it's chapter 5, and I think it just talks about it in verse 11, that we are becoming new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And he is a God of a redeeming, and redeeming, meaning he does it over and over. And one thing I realized, that he said he was married to the backslider. So that means he has a covenant agreement with me, because when you're married, you have an agreement with your husband that you're not going to cheat, and that you're going to obey, and that you're going to, even for richer and for poorer, for death do us part. And those are the promises, hallelujah, that I, you know, made to God. He said he would take care of me, and he's done every bit. I had not looked to a husband. He is my husband now. And, you know, I've never walked in this place before. I've always been in some kind of relationship as a woman. And I made a decision that I did not want to be in any relationships until God begins to heal me. And those relationships will be pure relationships. But I tell you, I'm waiting on my husband, because he's the one that's going to find me.
You know, I wrote down as you were talking, provisions, fasting, and mission trips, because there's so much more to your story, how God has used you in Africa and around the United States, and you speak and share, and kind of like a free agent for Jesus. You see the mission field wherever you go, as you go, you want to bring that hope and healing. And with the event coming up in a few days on Saturday, July 1st, 1 to 7 p.m., 512 East Grove Street in Champaign. You're in for a real treat. You'll get to meet Shanna in person and other people that'll share their testimony. There'll be food and activities and music, and I trust healing's going to take place, and many of you can identify to some degree something that's said or shared or communicated. I think it'll be worthwhile for you to come with friends and family members. But the fasting, we'll have to save that for another future program. The power that's unleashed when you fast and surrender to the Lord and ask him to work through a period of time where you give up, not just food, maybe it's other habits or practices or internet or whatever it is, when you fast and be intentional on asking God to bring about a change or confirmation, or you pray over a certain request or something that you want to share on behalf of others, and all your many mission trips. And then I never even mentioned how you just walked in here one day. Was it Brandy from the Pregnancy Resource Center? Somebody said, go by here. Yeah. In our closing minute, talk about divine appointments.
Yeah, I connected. I'm trying to think how I connected with Brandy at the pregnancy. Oh, I had diapers to donate. And I went there, and her and I just connected. We just bonded like sisters. Mm. And she began to talk about a radio station. She began to talk about a Mark Burns. And my previous pastors were connected to
Abe and Louise.
Right. Yeah. And I said, oh, I always wondered what, you know, never got a chance to really meet you. And she said, why don't you just go down and introduce yourself? And so I said, okay. She said one day, and this was like a week previously before I met you. So the Lord unctioned me as I was driving around one day to go down. He said, remember you have that card that the lady at the pregnancy center gave you? He said, go down. I was like thinking to myself, well, I don't have any business cards. I don't have this. God told me to stop, park, and get out.
Wow.
And so you saw me from afar.
Yeah, and Brandy and the Pregnancy Resource Center is just really across the parking lot, across the street. So we can almost see her from the doorway here. You have to go out a few yards and then they're right to the east of us, but we appreciate her. And you've participated with our ministry leaders' luncheon the last few months.
Yes.
And you're here the first and third Thursdays for our prayer time together, which is such a rich time of fellowship and prayer and worship. And so we appreciate how you're allowing God to work in and through you. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, Shannon McGuire, I don't even know if I mentioned your last name, is the special guest on this Testimony Tuesday on Wednesday, but it can be accessed anytime at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. So I trust that you may tune in and listen again or pass it on to a friend. And for those of you that can come out this Saturday to the Douglas Center Park, it's at 512 East Grove Street in Champaign, 1 to 7 p.m. Come join in on the Hill celebration where hope and healing and restoration can take place. And I trust you'll be blessed by the food, by the activities, the music, the speakers, the testimony time, 1 to 7 p.m. this Saturday. All right, listening friend. Well, thank you, Shanna, for being a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends. And we'll have to have you back to talk about fasting and mission trips and the other things that God's doing in and through you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Shanna McGuire with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.